I'm Aaron Schachter. This is The World. Merriam-Webster defines magical realism this way: a literary style associated especially with Latin America that incorporates fantastic or mythical elements into otherwise realistic fiction. And today we mourn the author who, more than anyone else, is responsible for making magical realism so popular around the globe. Gabriel Garcia Marquez died yesterday in Mexico City. The Colombian writer and Nobel Prize winner was 87. Garcia Marquez, or Gabo as he was also known, was of course best known internationally for his two most celebrated novels, 100 Years of Solitude and Love in the Time of Cholera. But curiously, the author saw himself as a journalist first and a novelist second, and as a realist above all. Here's what he once told the BBC about his literary style.
Not inventing nada.
I invent nothing. People always praise my imagination, but I believe I'm a terrible realist. Everything I invent was already there in reality.
No logro inventar nada. Todo lo que invento ya está hecho por la realidad.
Many in Latin America agree that there's nothing magical about the way Garcia Marquez described people and places, even if his characters were visited by ghosts or floated impossibly far above the ground. Writer Daniel Alarcón, a frequent contributor to our show, told my colleague Marco Werman about where Garcia Marquez's writing came from.
You know, he came from a tradition of storytelling and a tradition of oral history and exaggeration and a kind of cultural tradition that a lot of us understood, you know, that we all came from. You know, I remember when I was in Cartagena a couple of years ago and I was in a cab and the cabbie was like, "Esta es la casa de Gabo." You know, this is Gabo's house. And he said, aquí en el Caribe todos tenemos buenas historias, pero él redacta bien, you know?
Meaning,
here in the Caribbean, we all have great stories. He's just a good typer, a typist. He's just a good typist.
In fact, Alarcón wouldn't use the label magical realism at all to describe Garcia Marquez's work. He says the genre has simply been co-opted by too many lesser writers.
You know, there's nothing wrong with the phrase itself. It's just, to me, there were many writers who you know, would suddenly make cats very big, or a girl whose hair wouldn't stop growing, or, you know, they just add elements of surrealism and make that stand in for invention and emotion and real nuance.
Alarcón says what Gabriel Garcia Marquez excelled at was depicting a certain kind of reality, the kind you often encounter in small-town Latin America, where he says time moves at a different speed and things happen according to a different logic than what we're used to. That's what Garcia Marquez's fictional town of Macondo is like.
So I'll give you an example. A bus company in Peru, in Lima, turns out there's a bunch of fake buses that have painted their bus exactly the same and are running the same route. And they're not part of the company, but everyone thinks they are. And they're stealing passengers from the real company. You know, that's Macondiano. It's, you realize that you're in a world with its own logic.
Our partner and founder of Radio Ambulante, writer Daniel Alarcón. The way Gabriel Garcia Marquez wrote about Latin America changed the way the region is viewed around the globe, but he also influenced countless writers around the globe, like Hamid Ismailov. He's the BBC's official writer in residence, and he says 100 Years of Solitude had a huge impact on him and other young writers in his native Uzbekistan.
One should remember that we were living in the Soviet Union, and Soviet Union was one of the most ideological places to live, very propagandistic. The whole world outlook was very bleak for us. And Marquez was the first who brought the color in this world. His 100 Years of Solitude was completely different to war, everything we were sort of reading about at that time. It was the sort of village life. You know, Macondo is a village in the middle of nowhere. And another very interesting point was it was neither the Soviet literature nor the American or the Western literature. It was the Third World literature. And it made us sort of look at our own roots and all of a sudden to remember how magic is our literary tradition is, how magic is, for example, 1001 Night in our literature. Mm-hmm. So it helped us to rediscover ourselves.
Hamid, Did you get a lot of books from outside the Soviet Union at the time?
At the time, he was not one of the disallowed or prohibited writers, because the Soviets, the communists, they thought that it's a sort of, you know, village life. It doesn't create any ideological harm, and they allowed him. But he was so popular. But then other books of Marcus appeared, like, for example, Autumn of a Patriarch, or Colonel to Whom Nobody Writes, and so on and so forth, which were absolutely, in a sense, anti-Soviet ones, but the floodgate was already open.
Did the fact that he was writing from Colombia, from the developing world, make a big difference?
I think so, especially for the writers at the edges and suburbs of the Soviet Union, like, for example, Uzbek writers, Kazakh writers. You know, once again, the village in the middle of nowhere was taken as the sort of middle of the world, the center of the world. And everything was happening somewhere, not in Moscow, for example, or not in St. Petersburg, or not in New York or Washington, but was happening somewhere else. So little by little, the value of the ordinary life was creeping in with the help of Marcus's books.
So it gave you guys permission to write about kind of the little villages in the Soviet Union.
Yes, and the real life of these villages, because what is called the magic realism, in fact, was the sort of, you know, the real life of ordinary people seen by their own eyes, for example. I myself, you know, made a tribute to Garcia Marquez by writing The Railway, The Life of One Station, where everything seems so magical, but in fact, it's just the real life, you know, seen by the eyes of a child. Once Marcus famously said that until I was 17, I lived in Macondo, and ever since nothing has happened to me. So basically, he returned to the literature this playfulness of childhood.
Do you think you guys realized more than others, perhaps, that, as you said, magical realism was more realism than magical?
Yes, for us it was, for example, what my granny used to tell me, you know, because the storytelling is so important part of human being, and with every story it's a human nature to add something sort of magic, something a bit sort of hyperbolic, you know. Every storytelling school everywhere in the world loves to you know, embellish, to make it much more beautiful stories than they are in reality, and he released this technique for the whole world.
Hamid, for someone who hasn't read Marquez, where should they start?
His classic is 100 Years of Solitude, but I would recommend his shorter stories. For example, Colonel to Whom Nobody Writes, you know, I'll start with the more realistic stories and then gradually go to his magic realism.
Hamid, lots to think about. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Uzbek novelist and the BBC's official writer in residence, Hamid Ismailov.